Hello, and welcome to the Scotchcast. This is the Giant Bomb Guild Wars 2 Community's off-topic podcast. I'm your health self-cynic. Fuck. Joining me today is Noobarama.
You're shit at this.
Yeah,
you should
so
be
bad.
Replaced by me.
It was going so well. I even got the whole new title of
What do you mean? You messed up from the get-go. It wasn't going so well at all.
It was going perfect, because the Giant Bomb
like,
Guild
my...
Wars 2
oh,
Community's off-topic podcast
messed
is a
up
hard...
Immediately. Oh, well.
Let's hear you say that five times backwards.
He's rusty. It's not like he hasn't done any Scotchcast in the past, like...
We've only done one other one this week. Okay. Also joining me today is Thurbleton. How are you doing, Thurbs?
I am very well rested because I slept all day for the last day of E3.
Nice. That was actually probably a good choice. Nothing much happened. Aside from Fez 2 being announced.
Fez 2 talking to Dean Rocket, but luckily I caught a VOD of that.
Oh, dude, did you miss the... Did you miss the Bombcast?
Yeah, I still need to catch that too.
Oh my... Okay, well, I'll tell you what happened in a second. Shinboy 630 is also here. What's up, Shinboy?
I slept all day yesterday, too.
And it's a freaking huge return, only for a limited time. I'm not sure how long he'll be able to stay, but...
I'm excited.
One of the men who helped start the Linkin Cast in the first place, Jav the World, excellent to have you back.
Howdy, guys.
It was pure right. luck. That,
it's, can I just add something?
It's an honor to be at this virtual table with you, sir.
To go along with Fez 2... Phil Fish is a giant asshole.
He's a giant cunt.
Nice use of that word. I adore Phil Fish.
I think he's cool. I think he's
like
Cliffy B. You can take him or leave him, and I don't mind him.
Yeah, but Cliffy
I met Cliffy B, and he was super nice.
Yeah,
he's like slightly egotistical, but he's not a straight up asshole. Like
I don't
Phil
think
Fish.
Phil Fish is an asshole either. I think he can be cool.
Phil Fish just doesn't have anyone to tell him, you know, oh, you shouldn't do that from a business standpoint of view. So he's just like, I'm going to do it because I can. Like, if I want to tell someone they're wrong, I'm going to tell someone they're wrong.
Yeah.
Remember, he's also French-Canadian. So
that is a problem.
That is a problem.
Wait, he's French-Canadian? Yeah. I thought he was American.
Yeah.
No.
Wow.
No.
Okay. Weird. I didn't know.
He would throw him out.
he is
in French Canada is he allowed to exist.
That or he would become a government representative, Shinboy. One or the other.
There you go. So today's episode of the Scotchcast, we are be starting with E3 takeaways. So we're not going to do a huge E3 rundown. We've already done a rundown of all the press conferences in the show that went up earlier this week. So today, and especially with Chav here, we'll just be talking about our biggest takeaways from E3 this week. Personally, I think it was the best E3 possibly ever. That was
really?
A fucking, yeah, I think that was up there with E3 1998. In how good this E3 was.
It was high quality.
Actually, I don't know if, like, well, there's a question I want to ask Jav, and this might just be a great lead in to the main part about E3.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm really curious if he can maybe give some insight on why consoles cost so much more in London and whatnot. Or in pounds and in euros. Like, I heard VAT.
Pound sterling.
Yes.
Yeah, the obvious thing is the VAT. So obviously, American prices don't include any tax whatsoever because it's done on a state by state basis. So when you translate that price over to the UK, you get 20% added on to what the straight
20%
translation.
Jesus.
Yeah, that's our VAT. It went up.
Socialist
recently.
Britain.
Yeah, it went up quite a lot. Probably the most it's ever gone up in its history a few years ago.
That's fucked up.
But back during the recession and. Yeah, so there's 20% from that, but I'll be fucked if I knew where the rest of the money comes from. Because I did the math myself, and I worked out how much the PS4, like the price difference from dollars to pounds,
mm-hmm.
and it's 30%. Like,
yeah.
Where are they getting an extra 10%?
But
out of
the
nowhere?
Thing that I found interesting was, I don't know where this person got this information from, but it was U.S. Federal minimum wage versus UK minimum wage,
yep.
And it came out to only like a 6-hour difference in time worked in price, which I found interesting.
What does that mean? What is a 6-hour difference in time?
If you worked X amount of hours,
how many hours much, it would take to get the amount of money? To
like how
buy
many
this?
Hours it would take yeah. to get $400 at minimum wage in the US versus how many hours it would take to get I think it was £329
50, I believe,
something like that.
PS4.
But like that's yeah. like saying $100 in because say you're getting paid $15 an hour, Right. 6 hours is what, $90? $90 is a big difference. You know? It's
but that's
huge.
Not minimum.
But I think $15 the way doing it is not minimum. It was like a 6 hour difference. Like you would have to work, say 60 hours in the
$90
US
on paper.
Wage.
That's a lot of money. Like, even though it's only 6 hours, people don't look at like money spent that way.
I thought it was an interesting comparison.
Yeah. I'd say, but at least in American hours, that's like minimum wage. That's 50, maybe $70 for 6 hours work.
And that's still a lot of money. I think that's a lot of money anyway.
I don't think the minimum wage argument is a valid one.
I agree.
In this situation, because that minimum wage isn't, you know, the equivalence of the currency's actual value.
Oh yeah, no, I agree. I just thought it was an interesting point.
Sure, yeah. I mean, it's interesting to see that, but I think it'd be better to take something more literal, like, you know, price of bread or something, which actually translates more realistically, and then work it out that way.
Well, how much is milk over there? How much is milk over there, Jeff?
How much is a bag of 2 liter milk?
No, get out of here with your bags of milk.
Join the Bag Milk Federation.
You can buy bagged milk in the UK.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you can buy bags of milk here, but yeah, it's pretty backwards.
Stalinist, communist.
The craziest thing to me was that Australia is getting less ripped off on both consoles than the UK.
That's crazy.
It's just insane. Just insane, because
you've got the shipping tied
in. We're in an island in the middle of two oceans.
To be fair, it's quite a large island.
Yeah, it is a pretty big island, but only with 20 million people.
I don't think you're manufacturing the consoles yourself.
Yeah, I reckon actually you guys are closer to China than we are, and that's probably where all this is getting made.
That is true. We are closer to China.
I'm making them.
Actually, wait. I'm not sure if Australia is closer to China than the UK. I don't know. It's pretty.
Do you reckon they ship them all to America from China?
Rather than this turn to another, where is the prime meridian?
Australia is in the southern hemisphere.
Maybe we should just stick to video games, guys.
We are talking about video games. So this links to one of my stories because the PS3 is only $50 less. Sorry, the PS4 is only $50 less than the Xbox One in Australia. It's $550, which translates to like $570 or something like that US dollars or so. Or $540 US dollars, depending on when you purchase it, because our currency is all over the place at the moment. And the Xbox One is $600, which is like equivalently more in or less than US dollars. So it's just only $50 around their US dollars difference between the two consoles. But if you look at the UK, it's £80 difference, and that gets closer to like $100 US difference, which is kind of cool.
Way more than that.
That's way more.
Almost up at like 130 to 140 range.
Yeah. So I was listening to me talking about it on the previous podcast. I ended up listening.
Of course,
back to,
you were listening to yourself. Beautiful voice.
I was listening to the previous podcast. A, to hear the audio quality. B, to see how much we were wrong, because we actually did Sony predictions during the Microsoft half of the podcast, which was like just we recorded directly after the Microsoft press conference. So we did Sony predictions. We were pretty good. Like, we didn't get. I thought Last Guardian was going to be there, but it wasn't. And that was like pretty much the only big difference. Like,
because you're a crazy person.
I almost want to point out, reveal to folks that Cynic has pre-purchased, not pre-ordered, pre-purchased a PlayStation 4.
So I listened to our own podcast to check levels and to see how much we were wrong.
To convince him of this was himself.
That is exactly what happened. Well, all of us, because I was in that podcast. We got finished with the Xbox segment. We gave it 6 out of 10 for the conference, mainly because of the price. And my particular point of argument there was the prices overseas are fucked up. Expecting Australia to be even more fucked over, but we weren't. But then we got into like the first segment of the PS4, the Sony conference discussion, and we were all just like shouting and cheering and shit for like the first 5 minutes of that recording. And I just walked into the nearest electronics boutique and put down $50. It's right there on the table. Give me my console. I'm sold.
Why?
I'm pretty sure I'm during sold. That Sony reactions thing, I mentioned that, oh, hey, I got my confirmation email from Amazon.
Yeah. Did you get, are you a day one edition? Sorry, a launch edition or whatever?
Yes,
it was?
Of course.
Excellent, excellent.
$0 down because Amazon is awesome.
And Sony has confirmed that Australia is getting it this year, but they're not sure about Japan. And I think that's absolutely fucking crazy. What the fuck is happening there? Yeah. We're getting it this year. And Japan might not be. That's anyway.
Senate, can I ask you something?
Sure.
this is really interesting. You saying you put down what, 550 not USDs, Australian dollars, AUDs, for the console already. I was literally just making a post on Giant Bomb about this a few seconds ago. Why would you put that money up front now?
So
why not wait until nearer the time?
Well, I mean, the Sony is like an crazy indie console developer, and they need every dollar they can get to produce those consoles. It's like a Kickstarter.
Let's
right?
put it this way, right? I had $700 in my account for the PS4 already from the time they announced it, and we were expecting the PS3 launched. For those who don't know, whilst the Americans were complaining about $599, Australia's launch price for the PS3 was $1,000. Australian. It was $999 Australian dollars. So I had a $700 to put aside for the PS4 thinking we were going to get shafted. I thought it was going to launch at $599 or so Australian US dollars, so it'll probably be $700 Australian dollars. When I saw $540, that was like already well within my expectations for the console. I already knew I wanted it because Infamous Second Son looks awesome, and the controller looks awesome, and some of the, as soon as essentially when they confirmed that we aren't heading towards a dark future in gaming and they are going to be doing no DRM and all that kind of stuff, I was absolutely 100% sold. And just for that alone, I'm happy with putting down that money.
I want to take Chav's side on this as well, because we're pretty much expecting Microsoft to like return with a subsidy model. We've never actually discussed, do we expect Sony to return again with another subsydy model, maybe taking $50 off or something.
Sony doesn't really subsydy do that, models they? Outside the US. That seems like a very US centric. Like
I agree.
The whole contract model just is something as the US person, buys into more than.
As Cynic, being a person who's already sold on PS Plus, it would be to his behest to just like sign up for another 2-year contract with them or something.
The reason. Sure. The subsidy thing is a big thing in the US because Americans are dumb.
Yeah.
And they see $200 and they think it's cheaper.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Even though they're paying just as much.
More expensive. Oh, trust me. I know that. And everyone else in this call knows that. Most people don't.
Apparently, everyone else in the world knows because it hasn't caught on anywhere else. Like that I've talked to. And granted, I haven't talked to everyone in the world, but
really?
From all the countries of. All the representatives online for countries I have talked to, subsidy model has not caught on in anywhere near the shape or form as it has in the US, elsewhere in the world.
Canada's pretty bad with it.
Where? But that's Canada.
It's because you're America Junior.
Yeah, it's America. Or no, Canada is America's. No, wait,
hat.
Fuck.
You're America's
America
hat.
Is Canada's beard. Sorry, that's what I meant to say.
Okay, sure. That took you
a
while.
Hairy,
that goof
beard.
Took you a while to get out. That was, funny.
What do you expect? He's a Canadian.
So I don't know. It's more apparent than ever that PS Plus is going to be subsidizing that price. Like the fact that they're making it online require PS Plus outside of free to play games. That's probably subsidizing a lot of that price for them. I'm pretty
that not putting the camera in the box, which Microsoft has decided to do, and I can't imagine how expensive the new Kinect is.
It sounds.
But I think I know. I think I know why you really bought the thing so early, Cynic. Because when I buy things before they're actually released, and it makes me feel special. It makes you feel special, doesn't it? Gives you that nice warm feeling.
I wasn't planning to. I honestly wasn't planning to until I re-listened to our excitement from that podcast. Like I was.
I got the same feeling from pre-ordering and putting $0 down.
the reason I didn't pre-order for a partial price rather than full price is it helps me manage my funds because I don't want to be sitting here.
Because you're bad at managing money.
Money's already out of the way.
I consider myself good at managing money because now I know what my realistic bank account level is going
forward. Think
about
all the interest. That's like 4 months of interest.
It was on it was in one of my zero interest accounts. Oh, you mean for EB?
You're already screwing up in the first place. But EB, yeah. Think of how much interest they're going
to
be making off.
Because I have huge amounts of savings to be accruing so much interest for.
Secretly, Cynic is an EB stockholder.
That 50, is it cents? Do you have cents?
Yep, cents. That's
50 cents you might have made over those 4 months could have been crucial in the next year.
You never know. I just want that money out of the way. Now I don't have to think about it. I'm confirmed for this year from Electronics Boutique. I'll be getting it this year on launch. And so, it was crazy. But more importantly, so I talked to them and a couple of other stores because I was telling these guys in Mumble what the general atmosphere was because apparently in America, these things are dying down, but in Australia, we have like shopping centers, Westfield shopping complexes, which is what we call it. I think that's the same name in the UK, right?
Yeah, we have. I went to one on Thursday. No.
Last
weekend,
what is
actually.
This?
I think walking around malls, like not like outdoor malls, pretty much.
Yeah, a huge shopping complex mall? With like four levels, all filled with stores. Like you guys have these,
but they're
just dying down.
Yeah. We call them centers, basically, or malls.
Or centers or malls.
Yeah, you guys have these, but they're just like, they're winding down more and more in the States. Apparently,
we're not winding down. There are so many near me. Oh my God.
Awesome.
Because Durham was like, we don't have many of those anymore. I'm like, all right, sure.
That's because he lives out in bumfuck nowhere. I live in civilized society.
So in that complex, there are five dedicated electronic stores. No, sorry. There's seven dedicated electronic stores, or the nine. Something like that. Of which five focus on gaming. And I walked around to all of them. And it was really dumb of me because I didn't ask for Xbox One sales levels. But I asked for how many pre-orders they're looking at for the PS4. And... So the first one I went to, the one I pre-ordered at, had 20 pre-orders for the PS4 between the reveal event in February and when I asked for them then. So then the start of the week, and then 10 more since the start of the week. So actually not that many. So 30 from then. But then I went to the second one, and they've had 50 from February and then another like 20 from this week. So that's already 100 pre-orders of the PS4. And then that's two stores. And then I went downstairs. So essentially, like adding it up, in that one shopping complex, in one place in Sydney, Australia, one of our bigger cities, there's already like 300 pre-orders for the PlayStation 4, and they're confirmed for this year.
That isn't a big number.
That's only one place. This is Australia, like, and this is just after E3 when they only just announced the price, and it's coming out at the end of the year.
This is only just crazy people like Cynic.
Yeah. And that's already
like
300
crazy people going to the same mall.
When I was at the store today, I picked up my copy of The Last of Us today, and I just asked the guy out of blatant curiosity. I'm like, what's your status on PS4 pre-orders? Same thing. I didn't ask about Xbox Ones, but he said they sold out on Tuesday, right after the press conference, and then they got an extra allotment of like an extra dozen and a half, and those sold out on Wednesday.
And if you look at Amazon, it's the PS4 launch edition and the PS4 standard edition, which is the same thing, but just like not confirmed for launch day, are both in the top three gaming. I think it's entertainment.
I was reading something that if you sort of take all the online retailers that release their like pre-order numbers, it's roughly three PS4s for every two Xbox Ones.
Yeah. Yeah. And, but it was interesting reading that, because they didn't. I don't know how good any of these are indicative of like what the general sentiment is towards those two consoles, because it's hard, because the online community is just so closely knit. Like if you look at any poll online, it's like an 8-1 or 9-1 ratio between like preference for PlayStation 4 and preference for pretty much anything else.
Yeah. But that doesn't take into account all the dude bros.
Yeah,
yeah, I'm sure like the majority of the Xbox players like
don't participate in fucking online polls. Yeah, they just fucking buy it because they want it. And it's going to be interesting going forward. Anyway, so that was my anecdotal week. Moving on to the main topic. I'm sorry, Brad.
Yeah, like Chev, can you like go through some like football clubs and see what the dude bro community there think about it?
It's funny you say that. Like, I have friends who all have 360s and play FIFA and maybe like Call of Duty and stuff, and even they are saying PS4. So that's very anecdotal.
Really?
But yeah,
well, what club do you support?
I support Crystal Palace.
The PS4 is
promoted to the Premier League.
Well done.
The PS4 is the number one in Amazon UK as well. That's crazy. Because UK is,
you know what's crazy? You know what's even crazier? If you go on the frequently bought together for either of the two consoles pages, it's just Xbox One and PS4. Like, and like the total price is like £700.
That's
and you're like,
crazy.
Who is buying those together? what people?
Jeff Gerstmann.
There you go. So we're moving on to our main topic this week, because we'll be talking about what we've been playing at the end of the show and what we've been doing at the end of the show. E3 takeaways. That's essentially it. Like, just we've already talked about the conferences. You can hear about that in the previous podcast. We didn't get a chance.
I think you just pretty much went over your E3 takeaway.
Yeah, thanks for that.
Yeah, my pre-order.
Unless you have more.
I do have more.
Promise me a short show.
Let's see. My only real takeaway other than those... Well, one's a piece of news. So the Xbox One, there was rumors of Xbox One, the DRM sound like actually being worse than what it sounded earlier in the week. And then they released the availability for Xbox One in general, and they released the short list, the easily scrolled pastable list of 22 countries that the Xbox One will be able to work within, not be purchased within, to work within. Like, it can only be usable.
The running joke is there's some game companies that are making games for Xbox One that will not be able to play the game when it comes out because it doesn't come out in their country.
Yeah,
like CD Projekt Red.
CD Projekt Red. Yeah. Like, it doesn't work in Poland. It won't work there at all. What are you guys' thoughts on this? I thought it was crazy. It's how many people were excluded.
No one lives in Poland.
I mean, like, on the one hand, yes, it's crazy. They sort of back themselves in the corner of it with, though, because I think they're only releasing it in countries in which they have like internet subsidy models or TV subsidy models, whatever, set up.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's sort of only catering to like the most like first of the first world countries.
And to be fair, they're really just catering to the base that will probably where they're going to get their sales from. It's not like they're I doubt they're losing big sales by not releasing to Poland or Azerbaijan.
Yeah, but like it's something like that part actually makes perfect complete sense to me. Or Chev, what were you saying?
I've seen people, I don't know if you guys are in the room or yourselves, but I've seen people using this to back up the theory that Microsoft have distribution, not distribution, but manufacturing issues with the Xbox One.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, they're getting yield issues.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
And the huge APU because of the onboard ESRAM is
yeah,
the
really fast weird RAM because that they're using to catch up.
It's really not that much different than a regular AMD APU.
It's not, but the
most of it.
This is the most ESRAM that's ever been put on a single on-die APU. 32 megs of ESRAM is apparently.
Are we just going to turn into a technical talk? Because I'm
no,
because
none of us understand what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Oh, that would make it better.
Yeah, I guess.
Talking about technical talk during the PS4 pre-E3 event, when they said URAM, I got really excited because I thought they meant actual URAM, not unified RAM. Like their term for unified RAM is not what unified RAM actually means, which is desperately disappointing.
Aww.
Sorry, you can carry.
I had to explain to someone the other day about why ports would be easier because of them moving to x86 architecture, and they were just not understanding what I was saying.
Yeah, that's. Speaking of which, that was actually one of my.
I had to make the example to them when they couldn't understand that of like some college students were able to port a game in 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Referencing Octodad.
Octodad was like, yeah, it was only a couple of weeks before they were able to put it on the PS4, which is kind of awesome. But no, that was one of my takeaways. Let's keep going around the table. Noobarama, what's one of your takeaways from E3?
My takeaways from E3?
One of them.
PC gaming continues to be irrelevant in most cases.
Yeah.
And I'm fine with that. I don't really care. I buy my games from Steam. Mm-hmm.
PC Gamer had a really interesting article about how, or why, I should say, PC won E3.
What? That almost goes without saying.
Well, it's in their interest to say that.
But I mean, their points were actually somewhat decent.
I'm excited for the games they showed, like Company of Heroes 2, Rome Total War, bit of Arma 3. That's what I'm excited for.
Demo is out today.
Yeah. Well, it's been out for, you could play for free for a really long time. They added the single player demo today, or the single player free to play thing today. And I got to pre-order that soon. But that's really what I got. Other than like Xbox is cheaper than, or Xbox.
Well, almost every other game announced was multi-platform to PC, like whether it be console exclusive or not, it was also on PC.
The one game I was interested in, the Tom Clancy's Ghost Recon MMO thing, that's console.
The Division looks awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
Why? Tom Clancy.
Tom Clancy, what are you doing on the Xbox? Come back to the PC.
Tom Clancy.
Division's one of my games of the show. It looks spectacular.
I think that is my game of the show because just the attention to detail was fantastic. Closed the door on that car.
I'll agree to you on, yeah, that attention to detail was amazing.
Yeah, it's absolutely really, really cool. Shinboy, what's one of your takeaways of E3?
That, the thing that sort of surprised me and surprised a lot of people was that how Sony especially are not just saying, in regards to Microsoft, oh, this is what we do better. They are taking just direct shots at each other.
Console wars are back.
We haven't seen it. We haven't seen this in a while.
Console wars are back with a vengeance.
This is we do what Nintendo don't all over again.
Shav, I listened to the Electronic Box, which is your podcast, and you guys seem pretty. You guys seem pretty happy with what Sony delivered and their method of delivery. Would you agree that console runs are back?
Yeah, absolutely. It was quite enjoyable, especially that YouTube video that they put up after the.
Oh god, that was amazing.
That was too
like,
much.
That's gone viral almost. Like there's people who have like don't even care about console wars or anything like that, and they've seen that.
Yeah.
Man, fuck console wars. At first, PC is like a casualty, like collateral damage. They're like civilians in a war zone.
Uh-huh.
But slowly, they sort of benefit from the console war.
Absolutely.
And then a different war erupts, and then they get shafted once again. It's like a never-ending cycle of getting fucked in the ass.
No, because
the problem is, for the first couple of months,
yeah.
Not only are these console games run atrociously on the PC, mm-hmm. they're mostly going to be console exclusive.
Yeah.
So it's sort of like bad. But because those consoles exist, PCs will get better thanks to people getting interested in games and people or companies being incentivized to produce PC or better end games.
Absolutely. And you kind of have to take those, like that you have to take that. You have to take the lumps because consoles will be pushed forward and then the games in general will be pushed forward and then PC will benefit. Like, that's just how it is. It's just on a slower term. Like, unlike before, where as soon as PC caught up, that was like halfway through the console cycle, and then by the end of the console cycle, that was only like a couple of years later before the new consoles. And this time, PC spent like a good third of the console generation being just like the top dog. It was like because it was the longest console generation, PC has the longest amount of time. That was just like the place to play games.
Well, it's also weird this time is that like normally the way it works is consoles sort of jump ahead of PC with the new ones. It's weird this time they're just sort of catching up. They're not ahead at all. They're just sort of, I wouldn't even call them even.
Right, because the problem is.
You wouldn't, obviously. I'd say that they're in many ways caught up, absolutely. So
I think consoles, the games for consoles will be so much more better optimized that it wouldn't matter if you had a good PC because the developers don't give a shit that you have a PC and they're just going to optimize
for the consoles. I see a lot of people like, well, I'll get to that point in a bit, but just PC. But what was the talk about again? PC's got. No, it was console wars are back. I agree. Yeah. I can't wait to see how Microsoft fights back because they have to, right? Like they have to fight back. This is
probably awkwardly, if I had to guess.
They got 5 months or like more than 5 months before these consoles come. No, 5 months because it's June already and they're coming out in November. So they have 5 months to turn around just an epic amount of like negative press, negative sentiment, negative like everything about the Xbox One. Do you guys think they can do it?
If they can get enough developers on their side and get enough TV spots that like regular people who don't watch E3 care, then maybe. But
yeah, if they just keep appealing to the masses, they'll probably be fine.
Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. I think listening to I was listening to Weekend Confirmed before we started, and it's as if everyone forgot about like the major conflict that built up before E3, because like for example, like the DRM issue and the used game issue and the online only issues were a huge deal coming up to E3, and then Sony kind of surprised everyone by saying fuck all that, fuck you, fuck them, fuck that, I'm going to be doing my shit my own way. And then because of that, like, it was as if like a shitload of steam was let off. Like everyone, either people were relieved or people were surprised, but happily surprised and all that kind of stuff. And because of that, that's no longer the story going forward. Like that's no longer the story of these consoles going forward. It's just become about the games again. And that's kind of, in my opinion, forgetting that the other stuff is still really important. So if you listen to like We Can Confirm this week, they do spend like the first half just talking about the awesome games on Xbox One. And I agree that the Xbox One has awesome games, but I feel that because all this other stuff is being swept under the rug, because Sony is doing it differently and people forgetting about like this basic issue between the two consoles, things like that will not affect sales. Things like that which should affect sales might not affect sales at all going forward. So I think Xbox One still has a huge chance. And in my opinion, that's a bad thing because fuck those.
Well, I mean, like the majority of the people who buy those consoles don't care about some of the things.
But they should care, man. Like they should care. Like, they should care about physical rights, and they should care about online-only bullshit. They should care about being locked out of your console, but they won't. And you're right, they won't, and that's weird.
I mean, it's like that with a lot of things. Like, even going back to, I guess, Guild Wars 2 is a game that most of, if not all of us, have played. Mm-hmm. And, like, there's a lot of really neat things in the world that are sort of off the beaten path, but most players don't care.
Yeah.
Even though they should.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess. Anyway,
saying it's not just a problem with those consoles; it's a problem with the general public, in terms of everything.
Thurbleton, what's your takeaway from E3? What's one of your takeaways from E3?
One of my takeaways from E3, I guess, I'll just jump right to the thing I was most surprised, excited about. Now, like, not so much like it's DayZ standalone. I really enjoyed that game, and I'm excited for the standalone. Mm-hmm. But it was what. The main developer for Dean Rocket Hall said during, like, it was, I was watching the GameSpot VOD of it, mm-hmm. and he basically said, like, there's a good chance, if not, like, it already going to PS4.
Oh, really?
And he basically, like, he just straight up slammed Xbox, saying, like, you know, I don't really want to pay thousands to tens of thousands of dollars for, you know, an update.
Oh, right.
And we're going to be releasing this in alpha.
Wait, is that still a thing? Like, is that confirmed whether they're still doing
it? They haven't said that, but, I mean, like, they've painted that picture.
Yeah, they have. At this point, any good news would be surprising from there.
They've talked a lot about wanting to help any developers, but that's, like, they haven't actually shown anything. But he's also said that being a before he made that, like, started working with Bohemian Interactive before he started making that mod, before he worked at, for the military, mm-hmm. he was a, like, third-party developer, part of a company.
Right.
And he remembers working with, like, or seeing Sony then and, like, trying to work with them, mm-hmm. like, being, like, approaching them, like, hey, can we port this game? And the difference of Sony back then to Sony now is so much more indie-friendly.
Yeah.
And so that has me excited. Just as a person who's gotten, you know, bored of the AAA games, indie games are really cool and always surprising me. And so it's nice to see them on consoles and just more growing.
Yeah, just growing. And then being
more growing.
Published more by growing. Sony means that, like, a lot of the, like, because a lot of those damn games are being published. Yeah, damn it, Shiboy. Being published by Sony is, like, really good for a lot of those games because Sony won't be, like, in many of those cases, it's just first on PlayStation, which means they will be coming to, like, iOS and other platforms as well, which is good to hear. Like, it's like none of those games at E3 were exclusive to PlayStation 4, which is actually a good thing in my opinion, because if they can go elsewhere, that means Sony's doing a good thing by not locking those things down. So in general, it seems like indies are growing.
Because I also ended up sleeping through the last day of the Giant Bombcast, mm-hmm. and a little bit I caught the first half of the day 2, I guess.
Yep.
Was that the one where they were in the office and, like, Brad Mirror was on and everything?
That was awesome. The police station.
God, I haven't watched barely any of that.
Oh, well, man.
I can't remember which one it was. I think it was that one with Peter Molyneux and I can't believe I've forgotten the other guy's name.
Mm-hmm.
But they, like, basically talked about how indies are becoming the new, like, middle of the road sort of game.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is a good thing.
Where companies like THX or THQ.
Yeah.
THX. Oh, God.
I have overslept, but yeah, THQ, like all the middle of the road developers have gone away. Like, they've just either gone AAA or gone bust.
Yeah.
Indie developers are coming in to fill that, like, that area, like, you know, Bohemia a little bit,
mm-hmm. I mean, Transistor, that,
like Supergiant and Transistor. And I almost want to say, like, Double Fine.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, even beyond, like, what you think of when you think of an indie dev. Like, if you think of an indie dev team, you think of, like, 3 to 5 dudes, or maybe even one dude.
Or Phil Fish,
it's, yeah. And
yeah, it's indie devs that have been so successful that they can now self-publish. They're their own publishing house.
Yeah, and they're just becoming they're going from the age of indie devs to the age of indie studios again. And that's really exciting. Like, that's really, really exciting because that's how gaming started. It started with people in their fucking basements. Then it moved on to small studios. Then it became large studios. Then they started all being eaten up by publishers. And now you had, like, then you had, like, a period of, like, 5 years where pretty much
They were in the garage. I played Indie Dev Tycoon.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, there you go. Not basement's garage. I don't remember
the basement level.
I don't know. The thing is, I feel like once these consoles first come out, the mm-hmm. indie market's going to sort of stagnate. Because
why?
Whenever there's just this new surge of AAA titles and a new console comes out, mm-hmm. people aren't buying indie games. Because it seems like people buy indie games when there aren't big stuff coming out.
No way.
It seems it's a lot less. I mean, like regular
forward,
people who buy
I'm looking indie forward games. To Transistor more than I am pretty much any other big title.
Right, but you're not.
But he's. No, not like Noob's right, because it's all about mindshare. It's all about how do you advertise yourself in direct comparison to these huge games. Because
the way I think Sony is aiming for it is, I think Sony is betting on digital sales, pretty much straight up eliminating physical sales.
Yeah. Which is
at some point in this next gen.
Just hella
smart. Means everyone's going to their store, which means then Sony can choose to promote those indie games however they want.
Yeah. But like even beyond that.
I'm saying in the long run, indie games will always benefit. But in mm-hmm. the short run, when all of these titles are just jam-packed in a couple of months, indie games, I think, will suffer.
It's possible. General. But then if you look at the other side of things, like Sony's going to be giving away a bunch of those. Like people don't. All right, I'll start from the start of that sentence rather than jumping ahead.
I think you're right in that they might stagnate, but I'm hoping with the way like Sony has been doing, like winning hearts and minds, they might actually help keep like they might ride the wave that is like indies and keep them going, because for them it will be benefiting them, like it will be benefiting Sony.
And even beyond that, like Sony's going to be giving away indie games with PlayStation Plus. It's going to be a large part of their strategy going forward, because PlayStation Plus, the idea of it is that you get free games with that service. But Sony's been traditionally giving away fucking huge AAA titles with that service. They're going to be moving to giving away indie games. That sounds like a bad thing. Like, why would you give indie games away for free? But how PlayStation Plus works is that, at least for what we know of it, is even though it's free, inverted commas, for everyone who's downloading those games, every time one of those games is downloaded, the publisher gets a cut of PlayStation Plus money for that month, right? That's how it seems to be working.
I was curious how it was going to work. Is either they get a cut or it's just like a flat, like,
a flat fee.
For this game, we will like give you 50K or something for
it. Yeah, and then everyone who downloaded that month gets it. It sounds like it's either one of those two, but it's kind of both, because the money they get from PlayStation Plus goes back into the fund to get more games on PlayStation Plus. Like, that's how it's been working so far. And so as more important people have been signing up for PlayStation Plus, that's why we've started getting even better games, because like we just got Hitman Absolution and Uncharted 3 and like fucking Catherine and like great games on PlayStation Plus.
And Deus Ex and Saints Row the Third.
And Sleeping Dogs. And yeah, it's been insane. And because of that, because they're shifting to indie games as a focus, I'm hoping that means those indie games, which would have like been a long tail of low sales for a lot of those gamers. I mean, so a lot of those indie game creators will get like little bumps because they're on PlayStation Plus. Those will be getting this kind of like steady money because they're going to be part of PlayStation Plus, which I hope is going to be part of the case. What were we saying? What was the takeaway again? Is it? Let's move on. Bradley, shove the world.
Yeah. You can call me Bradley. I don't mind.
We've let slip almost all of our names on this podcast already.
I'm pretty sure like the first episode I recorded with you guys,
it was just badly bothered the whole way through.
You said my name. Yeah. Why not?
Whatever. It's Shav the World. What's one of your takeaways from E3?
I'm gonna go with Fez. Like, that was such a shock horror to me. Like, when
look who's
I saw
sucking
that...
Phil Fish's dick.
Don't mind if I do. When I saw that on Giant Bomb. Like, when I saw the trailer, I just looked at it and stared for like a solid minute at the words Fez 2. And then wondered, what the fuck is that game? And then wondered, who the fuck's making it? Like, I assume Phil Fish is making it, right? Mm-hmm. But why would he... Like, I assume you guys, or at least some of you guys, have watched Indie Game the movie.
No, I haven't. I plan to.
Okay.
You mean Phil Fish's Giant Asshole the movie?
Oh, wow.
Shut up. So like, you know what he went through.
Super Meat Boy's an awesome game, the movie?
Even if you like Phil Fish, that movie makes him look like a giant douche.
That movie justified for me why he got so, you know, just angry at everyone.
Right.
Did you not see, like, the shit he had to go through to get Fez out of the door?
What do you mean? Everyone left him? Everyone left him because he's a giant asshole?
Oh, wow. Let's let Chav, can you talk about why you're excited for Fez 2?
This is entirely separate from my opinion on Fez. I think Fez is a fantastic idea.
Yeah, Fez sounds cool.
Yeah, the fact there's a Fez 2, I just can't imagine where he's going to take that and why he still wants to be making Fez. Like, after watching Indie Game the movie and seeing what he went through to get Fez 1 out the door, I just can't imagine why he would ever want to keep working on anything related to that.
Well, he's got a team now, doesn't he? Like, doesn't he have a team now?
No, it's just him and his programmer, Renaud.
So it's just the two again for Fez 2. That's crazy.
I don't know. That guy was the guy who basically single-handedly programmed Fez and then single-handedly ported it to the PC.
I mean, some of it might be just like the name of it. It's for good or for bad, people know the name like Fez.
Mm. Oh, man. I would love if he made something in the aesthetic style of Fez but was completely different gameplay. Like,
but it sounds like they're doing the opposite. It sounds like they're doing something that's entirely different, like based on a different 80s archetype. According to Ryan Davis, they were talking about this yesterday on the Bombcast. It's based on a complete, like, they're going for the neon look, like the neon 80s style.
The vector graphics?
Yeah, vector graphics, that kind of stuff.
I'm down for that as well, yeah.
Yeah, they're doing that, but it sounds like they're keeping the same, at least the 3D aspect.
It's Hotline Miami, but with the 3D element of Fez.
Yeah, that sounds like
yeah, but it's got better music.
Oh, burn!
I don't know about that.
Fuck you!
I don't know about that.
You come to the wrong place if you get a D on Hotline Miami's music.
That's my most unpopular opinion. Yes, yeah, the Hotline Miami's music is bad.
Do you also eat babies? Like, are babies?
That's not an unpopular opinion. That's just a wrong opinion.
That's okay. I don't like Titanfall. No, it's not Titanfall. It was Division.
Division looks so cool.
I could see that if you're not into squad-based shooters.
Hmm. Yeah. I'll
give
that.
It has.
I play Arma all the time.
To it that looks cool to me.
Yeah. Person, they're much different styles.
Right.
That's pretty cool.
So now we're going to go free for all with our takeaways. I'm going to go first, though, because I'm a host and I get to do that kind of thing.
Is this why you wanted to be host?
We haven't been doing our takeaways this whole time. What have we been doing?
You're like, let's go around the table and talk about takeaways.
Yeah. And now we're going to go free for all, but I just want to go because it's getting boring doing one at a time. Yeah. But my takeaway from E3 2013 is fucking 1080p 60 frames a second is back to being a thing, and I'm so happy.
On up-resed PS3 games.
Oh, man. No, because Battlefield's conveyed to 1080p 60 frames a second. And
Upscaled.
And 64 players.
Battlefield back to 64 players the way it fucking should be with Battlefield. That's what I'm happy
except
about.
That's except 64 players never left on the console.
All of the Nintendo games are 1080p 60 frames a second. Like a bunch of the PS4 announced titles are 1080p 60 frames a second. I'm so happy that this is.
I'm actually happy about this because I don't have to get sad about playing console games anymore.
Exactly. Even though they may not be like PC will overtake console in the very near future, but I don't feel the need to.
I would like The Last of Us so much more if it looked exactly the same but ran at 60 frames.
Oh man. 60 frames is back, and that is so exciting.
Do you actually think all Xbox One and PS4 games are going to run at 60?
No.
Because I think that's just going to be at launch, like a few of them will, and
yeah,
then
I think it's
going to go up to 30 very shortly afterwards.
No, I think that because Halo is moving to 60 frames a second, I don't think they can ever go back. I don't think they can ever go Halo 5, 60 frames a second.
Yeah, your Call of Duties or your Titanfalls and your Halos and Battlefields, sure. They might be able to do...
I give credit to Call of Duty because they've been running at 60 frames for a while.
Yeah, they've always been running at 60 frames for the COD, since COD 4.
That's why that game still looks like COD 4, so...
Well, like if we did a poll in Giant... I made a poll in Giant Bomb and huge amount of responses, but I think it was 70% of people said to them they prefer higher frame rate to better graphics. I'm actually part of the 30% who prefers better graphics to high frame rate because I don't mind The Last of Us's frame rate. I just love the way that game looks.
I know you haven't played as much of it as I have, but I've noticed some drops below 30, at least what seems like drops below 30.
Either way, Uncharted 3, Uncharted 2, like those are some of my favorite looking games in the last couple of years, and they're 30 frames a second, so I don't really mind. But I think that from developer, like before E3, there was a bunch of rumors going around that Sony was actually pushing for this gen to be the gen of 1080p 60 frames a second. Like they were actually going up to developers and saying, we would prefer if you actually develop your games from the get-go to be 1080p 60. And a lot of developers won't do that because, like, if you guys don't know at home, like, the reason for a lot of games going to 30 frames a second and looking good, aside from the fact that the performance is multiplied by 3x if you go to 30 frames a second, is that it's for those box shots. It's for those, like, all the advertising. It's for the trailers. It's because games that look good on paper, on stills, in screenshots, sell better. And that's...
Oh, there's so, a term for those screenshots. Oh, God, bullshots? It escapes me. Bullshots? Thank you.
Yeah.
Love that term.
Yeah, and so it's definitely going to go back to 30 frames. And I, for example, if you give me a game that's 30 frames a second but looks like The Dark Sorcerer, I'm going to be there. I'm sold already, so whatever. Infamous Second Son is going to be, I think, 30 frames. It looked like it was running solid. It looks like it was running 60, but I think it was 30 frames.
That frame rate in the first Infamous was all over the place.
It was all over the place. But yeah.
Something that has me sort of bummed is the new Star Wars Battlefront.
How does that bum you out?
Here's why. Because it's made by DICE, and we knew that...
It's not made by DICE.
EA.
It is made by DICE.
I'll get to that.
All right, let's hear this.
We knew that Call of Duty, like just before E3, they pretty much said bad companies are not going to happen anymore for Battlefields. It's like, all right, well, that seems down. But then we found out Battlefield 4 is going to have 64 players. So it was like, all right, we're back to massive killing people in PC games.
Right.
So I just naturally assumed, since it was like, you know, it's a DICE game, the bad company team's down, they're going to be working on, you know, Star Wars Battlefront. Mm-hmm. Why not just name it Star Wars Battlefield? That sounds awesome. Come to find out, it's the Medal of Honor team.
Oh, God.
As a note there, did you know Battlefield 3 had 64 players on PC, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but not on consoles. So
they confirmed 64 on consoles?
It was still very crowded and very small maps.
Right.
At least initially.
Hold on. I'm just going to throw this out there as a PSA. If you have Battlefield 3 on the PC and you don't have the close quarters, I think it's the map pack, you can get it for free. Just go to Origin and punch in the code like BF3E3 or something like that.
Completely eliminates.
I'm going to go do that now. Once you put it in.
God damn it. But sure. I think the point Thurbland's making is Battlefield 3, even though it was best played on PC, 64 players on PC, it sold the most on consoles. And they designed it from the ground up to support that, to support the console player.
They designed it to be on consoles and mainly an infantry game,
right?
Mainly like going for that Call of Duty crowd, mm-hmm. which is similar to what the Medal of Honor guys have done with their past few games.
Yeah.
And
so if consoles are going to 64 players, that means all Battlefield's back because they can design all platforms to be 64 players. And that's...
You can throw in a whole bunch of vehicles because vehicles control better with a controller anyway.
Yeah, there you go.
Wait, so your gripe about Battlefront is that it's made by the Medal of Honor team?
I think that's a good gripe to have.
That is a good gripe to have.
Yeah, that's pretty much my being really bummed about it. and as for the reason why I'm so much like Battlefield, and again, Shinboy, I'm surprised you didn't make fun of my so much like
Bad How much English. Like Battlefield?
Yes. But I grew up with like El Alamein, and I think it was like their map was like Gaza or something, or mm-hmm. just like Wake Island, I think, was the smallest map, and that was huge. And it was just these giant maps that, granted, they're smaller than like Arma stuff, but it's still just giant freaking tank battles.
Isn't that a good thing?
But tank,
it's a good thing, but they don't do that anymore.
Right.
Right.
They've scaled back on the graphics to like or the maps because of the modeling budgets.
Right.
Especially in a game like Battlefront too, where there's a lot of vehicles. But to be fair, in the Battlefront did originally it's mainly infantry you'll be playing as mm-hmm. in like the original Battlefronts. So, and the original Battlefronts being like a console centric game, I don't see it. It couldn't be that bad, could it?
Yeah, I really want a Star Wars Battlefield.
Really? I want just Battlefront 3.
If they don't include the space battles, I'll be super bummed.
I want space battles.
Oh, God,
battles.
If they don't space have space battles.
They have to.
Why have they not announced if they had announced a new TIE Fighter or X-Wing, that would have been awesome.
Man.
But I'm happy DICE is somewhat related to it, because DICE does amazing sounds, and like the lasers... Those phasers, or not, yeah, they'd be lasers.
Phasers, yeah.
No, they're not phasers.
Wait, aren't they? No, that's Star Trek. Oh, Star Trek is phasers.
Oh, come on.
Lasers.
Come on.
So you hear what's the lasers, and it's like, oh, yes, fuck yeah, it's Star Wars.
Blasters. Awesome. It's blasters in Star Wars.
Oh, blasters. Yes. Lasers and blasters.
Yeah.
Jean-Luc Picard.
Any other takeaways from E3? Free for all. Who's got someone? Because I've got a couple.
Shinboy, a question.
Yeah?
When you played, or when you saw Transistor at PAX, what were they using for the controllers?
360 pads.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well,
but they were running on Windows machines.
I am looking on the IGN list of games, and it says, like, Transistor PS4 only, and I'm like, yep. I don't know about that.
Actually, it's PS4, and no, it's first on PS4 consoles. So it's PS4 only for consoles for probably a limited time exclusive, but they have said nothing about PC at the same time. But I think
No, they said it's coming to PC.
Yeah, so there you go. So it's going to be PC and PS4. I'm probably going to play it on PS4, though.
Yeah,
so.
They were using 360 pads running on Windows machines, one of them crashed, and it was really funny.
What's up, Shav? Did you have something to say?
Hot news.
Uh-huh.
Battlefront being made by DICE Stockholm, not LA. So it's not being made by the Medal of Honor guys.
Woo!
Good news for everybody.
It's made by DICE proper?
It's being made
by
DICE.
Thank you, Shav.
Nice. That's cool.
Also, hot news number two. I have moved on to the Dr. Pepper.
You did it in the wrong order.
No,
I started with the orange, and now I'm on the Dr. Pepper.
Yeah, you did it in the wrong...
No way!
No, you gotta save the best for last.
Exactly. Mirror's Edge, I'm excited about. I mean, I'm not totally happy it's a reboot, but hey, we're seeing a new Mirror's Edge.
I think she's less pretty now. That's my big takeaway from Mirror's Edge.
I didn't think she was pretty from the get-go. I don't know.
Really?
She had the body of, like, an anorectic 12-year-old boy.
I still think they should just make... I'm just gonna ignore that comment and just say they should just make... the box art, just the logo, the sort of outline of the eye and tattoo, just no text at all. Mm-hmm. Just make that the box art.
That thing's already barely going to sell.
The majority of people who buy games would be like, what the fuck?
At least make it an alternate cover, please.
Do what Bioshock did and have a reversible cover and that being the back. Yeah. That'd be cool.
I mean, like, that would make sense because they try, like, the Mirror's Edge is all about, like, this simplistic city setting. And not being, like, no real big detail.
Hmm.
So I could totally see them trying that for the cover. That'd be cool.
But, dude, it's not going to sell. Like, they're going to have enough problems selling that thing beyond the people who obviously already want it. Because it's a female protagonist. It's a franchise.
I don't even think it's female protagonist. It's just, like, some sort of weird non-violent platformer.
It's a non-violent platformer. It's a first-person platformer. It's a franchise
that game better have.
Like, most importantly...
It looks so cartoony.
It is a franchise that's already proven to not sell. Like, it's already proven to not sell. So it's, like, going to be extra hard to sell this
thing.
They want
to add a man, like, a grizzled war veteran standing.
Yeah.
Or, like...
with a shotgun.
In order for that game to sell, it needs more gray. Yeah. Or brown.
But that game looked so... like, Frostbite, I'm so excited. My major takeaway is if... like, what we've seen from what Frostbite 3 has been pumping out, and, like, just in general, the console graphics they showed at this E3, it has been proven that graphics in general are taking a huge step forward. Like,
Of course, that's what happens every console.
No, because a lot of people were like, oh, what can the consoles really give us? Like, because a lot of people were... in fact, a lot of people argued staunchly that we will not be seeing 1080p 60 frames on console in the future. And a lot of people were like... but there won't be another big generational bump in graphics. And I think they are fucking crazy. I think this E3 proved that generational bumps in graphics is still going
to
be a thing.
You have to take a look. You have to compare them. If you're looking at, like, what the PS3/Xbone are pumping out compared to the... PS4 and Xbone are pumping out compared to the PS3 and 360, it's a massive leap forward. If you're comparing what they're pumping out compared to, like... a sort of high-end PC with, like, maybe a 7850, it's not that big a difference.
Oh, no, but
it's like...
but this is
even
the...
if you...
Go ahead.
Oh, go ahead. Oh, you want to go ahead? I'll go ahead. Sure.
Go ahead.
But the problem is, you have that PC, it's not like people are developing games for that PC you have. Now there's a reason for developers to actually exploit good hardware and not just stick to the Xbox.
That's what I'm taking away, is not that... games, not that graphics are advancing to the part where we've never seen stuff that good. It's just now we're going to see more of, like, more stuff that looks that good.
It's increasing the baseline of graphics performance. Like, that's what we've already been always said in the Linkin Cast.
You're not increasing the ceiling. You're just bringing the floor up.
You bring the floor up, but remember that these are, like, tech demos. Like, for example, the Dark Souls, right? I'm always going to go back to that because that was the most graphically impressive thing.
You're talking about the Deep Down one?
No, Dark Sorcerer, which looks better.
Oh, never mind.
Deep Down, in my opinion.
Dark Souls.
Which
actually Dark Souls anyway. That was the Dragon Star. Anyway, that one's bullshit. Moving on.
Actually, Deep Down's been proven to be running in real time. But anyway.
I'll believe it when I see it, in a game.
That is exactly what I mean. For The Order 1886, for Deep Down, and for The Dark Sorcerer, the response to those games have been people saying, I will not believe that until I see it in real life. Which to me means it's awesome.
The Order was CG.
Or it's just it
wasn't. The Order wasn't. It's been confirmed by both Seth Killian and Garnet Lee's girlfriend and anyone who actually can talk about that game.
Of Divekick.
Fuck yeah, Star of Divekick. Final boss of Divekick has confirmed that that's how it looks when it's running. And the fact that people think that's bullshit is awesome. That's really good news because that means graphics are really taking a step forward. If these are the baseline graphics of the first year of these new consoles, I cannot wait to see what Naughty Dog does. I can't wait to see what like fucking the DICE guys do a couple years down the line. I just see like it's gonna be awesome.
Like you're saying, like, oh man, this is gonna be really awesome. I'm sitting here thinking, like, man, I can't wait to see what these games are gonna look like on my PC.
But that's exactly what I'm saying. Like, if these guys, if this is the first year of new consoles, these graphics transported as the baseline performance of PCs going forward, and anyone, but like anything going forward.
My point is, like, I'm not excited about the graphics that the consoles can pump out. For those consoles, if you get my point.
Yeah, no, that's a perfectly valid way of looking at it, and not how I look at it. I've been reconverted fully back to being a 100% console gamer. But
I mean, I pre-ordered a PS4. It's not crazy.
I guess we can transition to this little game. But what are your guys' thoughts on Destiny? That way we got to see gameplay of it, and
that game looks cool.
Do you think it's weird that they're not saying a PC port?
It's the Borderlands 2 I always wanted.
People have said it's a MMO shooter, but they're not going on the main like platform of MMOs, PCs.
Or it's shooters. Not an MMO though. It's a real online multiplayer.
It's a Guild Wars 1 style MMO.
Yeah.
It's Guild Warsian structure.
Mm.
Yeah, I agree, Cynic. That's the Borderlands 2 I always wanted.
Yes, the Borderlands 2 I always wanted. It looks cool.
I think the number of games I saw at the E3, and I was like, that looks like Borderlands. I said that watching The Division. I said that watching Destiny.
Division? What?
The Division.
The guns have the fucking
damage
numbers on them.
Yeah, damage numbers.
Numbers
man.
Come off people when you shoot them.
Yeah.
And the guns have damage ranges.
And I think that's a good thing.
About as Borderlands as it gets.
I think that's a good thing.
Has somebody made like a tally of how many trailers or announcements have panouts at the end to see so many people in the single player game you're playing?
How many games are there at E3? That's your total.
Transistor, everything.
I don't remember Yoshi's Island doing that.
I think it's like somewhere like 8 or something.
One game I'm kind of bummed about is Below. Like, that's the one with Super Brothers, right?
I think it looks awesome. Why? Why are you bummed?
I agree that looks awesome, but that's Xbox One only, apparently.
Yeah, but it's an indie game. It'll come to PC. It's an indie game. Indie games never stay on that platform, like their starting platform. So, like, even Limbo.
I don't know. Journey's still on PS3.
But that game company is a bit of a different thing.
That's because Sony pretty much owned that game company until that game came out.
Yeah, and it's going to be funny going forward because that game company kind of had like a falling out with Sony for everyone's reasons. It sounds like everyone was at fault for that. But then if the PS4 is looking to be like the bigger console going forward, I think they're going to come back as well. So, or just go to PC. Like, maybe that game company will just move to PC.
Oh God, Journey running on a PC.
Yeah, that could be cool. That could be cool.
Were any of you guys big into the Dragon Age? Like, is Inquisition interesting you?
Or? All I know is Morgan was in it.
Fuck that thing. They've been working on it for how long? That's, like 5 years, and they could only show a fucking CG trailer? Fuck off. Just fuck off.
But Morgan was in it.
Come back
Morgan
when you show
Final Fantasy 15.
Oh, dude, that game.
That actually looked interesting.
That looked awesome.
Yeah, that game actually looked really good.
Yeah.
Phil Fish took credit for like a Final Fantasy in a new direction.
Yeah. It's... I couldn't be fucked for Kingdom Hearts, like, whatsoever, but I'm happy those people got it. Any other takeaways from E3? Like, console games moving graphics forward, that sounds awesome. Indie games stepping forward, that sounds awesome.
Hashtag shots fired.
Hashtag shots fired, definitely. Anything else? I have one more. I have one more if you guys want to just move on to the next segment. My last one is Adam Boys is awesome because... You guys need to watch the ending of the Giant Bombcast.
I know what happens. I just haven't watched it.
You need to watch it. You need to watch that motherfucker.
without ruining too much of it. What happened because he was there has been added to the Giant Bomb E3 Hall of Fame.
Yeah, absolutely.
As 2013 Rookie of the Year.
Nice.
Like, it was a moment to remember for all Bombcasts. It was a Bombcast, one of those, like, awesome.
And it's not moments. Even on the main Bombcast. Like, it's not on the Giant Bomb video feed.
You'll never see it. You only ever see it if you watch it on Twitch. Like, you'll hear it if you listen to the Bombcast, which will probably go up sometime.
Can that be in the plugs? Just, like, that link to the Twitch video?
Yeah, a link to the Twitch and a link to the timestamp.
There is some dude who's been uploading them all to YouTube.
I was going to say, just link to the thread.
Yeah, good.
Because there's
good.
A thread where the guy has collected all the Twitch archives and, like, downloads for all of them and stuff.
Awesome. Fantastic. Dude.
Saints Row 4? I mean, like, did we see anything new from that, you guys? Or
I don't give a shit about that game.
Keith David as Vice President Keith David is really funny.
I don't know who this is. I don't know if they're a listener, someone in the guild, one of my friends. There's someone on my Steam friends list, and I've looked through their, like, previous aliases. I don't recognize them. Who has the name Barack Obama?
That's weird.
And has the picture of Barack Obama, and all they play is Saints Row.
You mean Barack?
Okay, I was wondering how you can turn that back around.
Barack.
Sorry, Obama. I call him Barack Obama. That's because it's funny.
Nice.
You mean Obama-rama.
And with that pseudo-political talk,
I guess what about one other game that we saw at E3, The Last of Us?
Yeah, so let's move on to what we've been playing this week. Anything else? Like, just put the final names in the coffin. I pre-ordered a PS4. Has anyone else been sold on a console? Seems like I got a PS4.
Honestly, I pre-ordered a PS4.
I've been sold on it. I don't really plan on pre-ordering it. Mm-hmm. I work at a place that's going to sell it, so I'll just take it.
That's fine.
And just
buy
it right there.
Steal it, right? No.
Thievery!
Did you expect yourself...
Smash and grab.
Did you expect yourself, Doubleton, to be sold on a console? Like, Chimboy, you as well. Like, were you guys expecting to be sold on a console this gen?
I figured I was going to get it eventually because, like, Sony always has the exclusives that I want, like Naughty Dog, and they publish MLB The Show, and I'm a baseball guy, so I play that. So I figured I was going to get it eventually. So I was looking at it, and I was like, you know what? I'm working this summer. Might as well.
Nice.
It's more so, like, I'd say this, but Journey sold me on it.
Nice.
I mean, like, that's good. That was the main thing that, like, had me interested, but that wasn't going to convince me to buy a PS3. Mm-hmm. But then since they've been announcing it, like, the back of my head has always been, oh, I can, like, just Ustream or whatever, like, top games, which I'm assuming Journey's going to be one. I'm assuming Last of Us is going to be one.
Oh,
so all the games I want to play now.
Stuff? Yeah, Gaikai stuff. Yeah, that'll probably include a lot of downloadable titles, I bet, going forward.
Man, everyone saying Gaikai at the same time sounded really weird.
can we just do one more time?
No.
3,
Gaikai.
2, 1. Gaikai.
That's something I wanted to mention, actually. The whole Twitch being an Xbox thing really disappointed me because I think Twitch is by far the superior service. I think Ustream is kind of garbage.
First of all, like, did you guys catch Nintendo's E3 thing? No, of course you couldn't because it was streamed via Ustream.
Because I value my time.
No, it was streamed via Ustream and that thing exploded. It just, no one could watch it. No one could watch it live. Like, when it went up, no one saw it because Ustream just absolutely fucking died and it was fucking sad. But
I guess one last thing, do we want to talk about Titanfall? I mean, that, like, Respawn, the guys who made the Call of Duty, like the good one, Modern Warfare 1 and 2.
I just want to say I called mechs being the futures of shooters, like, at the beginning of last year.
Nice.
Just saying.
I'll believe it. I mean, like, Hawken's been runaway success.
I don't believe
when
it.
When I saw 3 mech games coming out at the beginning of 2012, I was like, shit, mechs are the future.
No, I'm with the other guys. I'm with the Division guys. I think Borderlands is the future. I think
you think Americans eating poison money is the future?
Yeah.
Thanks.
Exactly.
No, I think Cynic's onto something. I think teams like Bungie and the guys making the Division and all these games that are incorporating the co-op aspect to it, or this the online aspect to it, I think that's actually the future for shooters. Like, the co-op makes it
things other than shooters too, like racing games.
It's so much more inclusive than competitive multiplayer.
I totally agree.
Because, you know, you can be bad at competitive multiplayer and you can't necessarily be as bad as, you know, a co-op shooter because, you know, you're working together. And there's a lot more, just like the whole interaction with multiplayer and, like, your friends is so much tighter in a co-op game. I really think it's smart to see that Bungie have gone after that, whereas Respawn is still trying to chase the competitive stuff that I think will die out as the generation goes on.
Yeah.
I'm tentatively okay with this because if if the main like AAA or like the main like focus of people is going to be co-op, that's going to be versus AI, which hopefully means smarter AI.
Oh, that would be, that's definitely.
Well, I mean, the co-op versus competitive. There's a reason Activision started adding zombies into every version of Call of Duty instead of just like every other year. Happening.
Yeah, you're right, actually.
Yeah, because it's been proven that co-op is like just everyone likes co-op. You can always, you can pretty much only have fun playing co-op, which is why Left 4 Dead was awesome. Why actually Titanfall for the single player, I think they've hinted at it being pretty co-op focused as well.
I thought the single player was the multiplayer. I must have misunderstood their conference.
They made it sound like it's like Left 4 Dead, where it's like scenario based and you do it as teams.
They were justifying the multiplayer a story. Like, you know, in the trailer, it starts off with a dropship and there's some woman like talking to you. I thought she was presenting story to you before the multiplayer match started. Right. But maybe
beyond like the fact that co-op is the thing going forward, I think that the Bungie guys realized what I realized a while ago, which is if people are addicted to prestiging and gaining XP and gaining that kind of shit in shooters already, once you get the mass market hooked on something like Destiny, where the actual weapons themselves can upgrade and you can level up in actual terms and that kind of stuff, and you get skills and that kind of thing, in actual...
There's loot.
Like, when it's an art, like people get hooked on RPG shooters, that's going to be the thing. Like, I think RPG shooters are the future because... Yeah, people have already proven that just seeing a skill bar move up, like sorry, an XP bar move up is a thing. Those guys don't know how addictive like a proper RPG can be. And if shooters are the way to do it, then yeah, it's gonna happen. And with that,
all right, guys,
and we knew about co-ops being amazing because I mean, way back when Trench was around. That's a game about love.
Trench, Shao, if you need to leave, it's been great to have
you.
I'm
gonna go sleep, so it was great. Thanks a lot, guys, for having
Cheers,
me.
Cheers, man.
Bye,
Jeff. Just leave the
call.
Again.
It's cool. Yeah, great okay. talking. All right, so what we've been playing. Me and Shinobu will probably go last. Absolutely, by the way, I want to say this up front, we will not be spoiling anything off The Last of Us. Like, I know we are...
Speak for yourself.
We tend to spoil things. Like, we tend to go straight into spoiler casts rather than doing impressions casts, but since it just came out yesterday, neither of us have finished the game, so we're just going to be not going to spoil anything. But before we get to us, Nubarama, what you been playing?
My Skype is robot-y, isn't it?
Well, yeah, we're just going to say, Simic, we're probably going to use your version of this because you've roboted so many times.
Oh, cool. Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. I was make sure I just put it in chat. I was like, my call sounds bad. Just want to make sure it wasn't me.
Nubarama, what you been playing? Can you hear? Is everything cool? Can you hear me?
Yeah, this is cool. That's cool, man.
What you been playing?
I've become viciously hating of the Japanese people by playing more Rising Storm. I swear to God, you're running, you peek your head out of cover, you instantly get shot. You're completely hidden in cover, they shoot a knee mortar at you, and then you're running up to the point that you blow yourself up in a mine, you blow your legs off, and then you get shot, and then you finally get to the point, and then you're like 5 seconds from capping the point, and they do a Banzai charge and cut you down with a sword. That game is so fucked up.
Yeah. So you love it.
So speaking of charging, going back to E3 for just a moment, Rome Total War 2 looks awesome. And the reason I bring up charging is because I think it was PC Gamer again had a really bad pun where they were showing a battle involving camels and they were charging and they called it a kamikaze and I wanted to die.
What else have you been playing, Nubarama?
Well, I've been excited for Company of Heroes 2, which I'm going to buy sometime next week.
Cool.
Yeah. That game, whether anyone else plays or not, I'm going to be hosting a Company of Heroes 2 tournament on the Gaming Hub.
Aww.
With no prize. So if you're good at Company of Heroes 2, well, if I win, there will be a prize. But if other people win, I don't know.
The prize is beating Noob, because that's going to be easy.
The prize is beating Noob.
Thurbleton.
And I've been farming Left 4 Dead 2 cards.
Thurbleton, what you been playing? Fuck Steam cards.
Really, I've just been trying to absorb as much as I can for E3.
Awesome.
There hasn't been, like, apart from I tried jumping into Hawken a little bit ago.
Mm-hmm.
Try out that new map they released a while ago. That game's still a pretty big thing, so it's fun.
Cool.
Armith 3, but I've been sleeping a lot, working a lot, and trying to catch up on E3 and the Giant Bomb stuff.
Awesome. Yeah, and there's so much Giant... Number one recommendation for me, just after the Adam Boys dropping in on the Giant Bombcast yesterday, is the crazy video Drew put up. It was like, what was it called? It's
the longest day of E3 or something?
Yeah, E3 2013, the longest day. It's a 50-minute video, but...
More so than that, it's just, again, more behind the scenes of how the industry works and how Giant Bomb guys do their job.
Yeah.
Like, if... I guess the second... Well, I don't know if we can link this, or we should, but the second... thing that's awesome was back when they didn't have a Thursday Night Throwdown, they instead showed us how they do Thursday Night Throwdowns and how they record stuff, and it took like an hour long, and that wasn't even all of it.
Yeah, it was just like a general tour of their recording room and what their machinery does in the first
place. It was insane what they do to stream, and I just used freaking whatever this program's called, XSplit.
Open Podcast? Yeah, there you go. And they're just, there's a definite like leap in quality and forward, and with that weeping quality is like a shitload of production value. Like Vinny Caravella and Drew Scanlon are like my heroes of E3 at the moment, because man, not only did they come
their shit stolen,
not only they came back from having all their shit stolen and had one of the best E3 podcasts ever with yesterday's Bombcast, and the one before that, the one with the studio and Cliffy B and all that kind of stuff, that was a great podcast as well. Like they had,
and like the first was really good with like the guy from Polygon,
Justin McElroy, always cool.
Like Max Temkin was on there.
Yeah,
this like Naughty Dog's guy. Like it was all twitch.tv/GiantBomb.
Absolutely, and if you're we're jumping to plugs too early. Anything else you've been playing?
No. I mean, like, I'm really wanting to play Call of Duty 2 since I found out that if I, like, pre-purchase it, I can just start playing it right away. But I haven't yet.
Call of Duty 2?
Company Heroes 2.
So, Shinboy.
You can play it now.
I just said I could play it now if I pre-purchase it.
No, you don't need a pre-purchase to play now. You can just play it regardless of pre-purchasing or not.
Really?
Yes. It's in like your Steam library.
Okay, we
it's
need to get this podcast like over with.
Now.
Another takeaway from E3 is playing as the dog in Call of Duty Ghosts is adorable and awesome. Like, look,
by the way, you guys, Company Ghosts is a bad game.
Your face is a bad game.
It's a bad game, but it's my favorite like RTS that's on a planet and not in space.
Nice. So it looks, Jimboy,
probably the best RTS that's not Age of Empires.
It looks like I've maintained my promise of this being a short show, Shinboy, because we're only at an hour and 10-ish, and this is it. This is it before we close out the show.
Well, I have one little thing.
Sure, go ahead.
From what I understand, while I wasn't here, I guess when Squiddle was on, you guys discussed Dust and Elysian Tale to some extent.
That is correct.
I've been playing that. The game's really good.
Yeah, I've heard. I've heard it's really good. It's still on my pile of shame.
So I don't need to discuss it.
Every time I'm about to play that game, another game happens. First it was
go ahead.
Fuck, what was it called? The Kingdom of Amalur Reckoning, which I'm still gonna finish. And I think I'm gonna finish that game, but then it was The Last of Us, and that game.
Yeah, most impressive part about that game to me is the fact that it's fully voiced.
Dust and Legion Tale?
Like 100%.
Yeah.
Which sort of surprised me.
Indie games and voice acting still surprise me. Like when Bastion did it, that was awesome. When Dust does it, I assume I shall be.
But
impressed.
Like Bastion, it's what, like one dude really? This is right. Like there's a ton of dialogue in this game, and it's all voiced.
Cool. That's
kind of crazy.
Yeah. So we talked about The Last of Us.
I picked up The Last of Us today.
How much? Just tell me the hour count. How much have you played of that game?
I don't know.
Okay, all right. Because so for those that I wanted to do a public service announcement, but they fixed it. But when the game first came out for both disc versions and download, so all versions of that game, there was a bug where the first time you pop it in and play it through, or so like seems to be the case. And if you're online on the PlayStation Network, that game didn't save, and it you couldn't save it manually. The autosave was broken. And so when I first put that game in, that game captured me in a way only Naughty Dog and few other games do. So I played like 3 hours of that game, and I lost the save. And I was really, really downhearted. But then I started looking up online, and people said that if you play it offline, that fixes the problem. So I jumped back in straight away. Like, it's like the thing, like when you fall off your bike when you're a kid, the first thing you should do is get straight back on that bike and keep riding it. Because if you stay off the bike, you'll get scared of the bike and you'll never go back. Like, that's it. It's like an old age old anecdote.
That's my experience with Mass Effect 3 since I stopped playing because the wrong save was imported. I was like, I'll just wait a little while then just replay those 2 hours.
Yeah.
I've yet to replay those 2 hours.
Exactly. Like, if you don't jump straight back into it, you're not going to go back. So I jumped straight back into it. And it turned out that the place I got to was only like 25 minutes into the game because I just rushed through it my second time through, just rushed through the opening, rushed through the first couple of segments, and got back to like 75% to where I was in 25 minutes, which means I spent 3 hours off The Last of Us just like looking at pictures on the wall and like reading signs off the wall and like looking at textures and talking to NPCs and... That game's cool. That game's cool.
I've probably played like 3-4 hours, but I'm way ahead of you.
Yeah, exactly. Because I'm just immersed.
I'm not blowing through it, but I'm moving along at a good clip.
I have a friend who's been playing that game for a week because he got it through less than legal means.
Right.
And he's still not finished.
Yeah, it's supposedly a long game. It's supposedly like 18 hours if you like speed, like if you go like Shinboy's pace by the sounds of things, you get it's like 18 hours long. But I think I'm going to take a long time to finish the game. And one of the coolest things, I'm not going to say when you start experiencing combat. I don't want to spoil like how that comes to fruition. But Shinboy, I did not expect The Last of Us to be able to be played like a straight up stealth game. You can play The Last of Us.
Oh yeah, that's pure how I've been stealth. Playing it.
How awesome! It's like actually a good. It's pretty sensibly well
done. Since Dern's
done.
Not here, I can say this. It's a better stealth game than Dishonored.
It is,
yeah, okay.
You can play full stealth. Like,
I mean, it's like I would have tried defending that, but then after trying to play Dishonored just by killing everyone, that got really tiring. So, yeah, whatever.
It's one of those games but, like, where
it's a really smart stealth game.
Yeah,
because it gives you a lot of different systems. Like you can. Oh God, this guy's patrolling towards me. I don't know what to do. Oh wait, look, I have this brick. Mm-hmm. I can either throw it at him to hit him and distract him, then run away to get a better positioning, or I can straight up throw the brick across the room to get him to walk over to investigate, then sneak behind him.
Mm-hmm. Or you can do what I do, which is just like throw the brick at him, which stuns him, then run up to him and fucking kill. Oh
or
my
you,
God,
or you can just hit him with the brick.
Oh my God, it's brutal, that game.
I feel like Cynic. You said bat when bad versus knife, right?
Yes. No,
you
yes.
You seem to be acting in a very knife way.
It's that game because you don't get it.
That game gives you wood planks. Bat still wins.
Oh my God, wood planks are fucked up. You pick it up and it's like, okay, so that game, it's one of those games where you find a lot of your, there's a lot of environmental weapons, which is crazy because I didn't think it would work as well as it does, but like there's a plank on the floor, you pick up the plank and in the UI it says like there's like four bars and I was like, does that mean I have four uses? And yes, it means like when you have a plank, you have four uses of that plank. So it just looks like a shitty, just a fucking normal ass wood ass plank. But when you start using it, every time you use it, it actually deforms. In not like it deforms like on the fly in like a calculated manner, but it has deformation states. So you, just by looking at the plank, you can know how much time it has left. But it deforms for a reason because you just fucking beat the you fucking hurt. People.
That game is violent.
Oh my God! Like
it's like it's not a senseless violence in the way something like Tomb Raider is in some of the deaths.
Absolutely
it's an,
not.
It's an extremely effective violence to drive a point home.
And it's in some ways it's just fucking more realistic. Like if you look at like Nathan Drake in Uncharted and he like punches out dudes, like he can get into fist fights and punch out dudes, right? And the way the fist fights work, especially when you're fighting a big dude, like you're just slugging them and then eventually they go down, you knock them out, right? In The Last of Us, when you're in a fist fight, you are actually killing them. You are killing them with your fists. It gives you that sense of just raw animal fear.
Like, if the dude attacks you, you'll like have to get like a quick, super quick time event where you just sort of push him back.
Yeah.
And then if you like melee again, you'll charge at him. And if he's against the wall, you will pin him with your like forearm by the neck to the wall and just start punching him in the face.
Yeah. And or like if you get that and they trip over something, like they tripped, like one of the guys tripped over something and fell on the ground and then you just like something like fucking kicking him in the face and just, oh. It's actual.
It's extremely violent to the point where you don't enjoy it, but you understand why it's necessary.
Well, it is necessary because you know that if he gets the hit on you, you're fucked up. You can't take many hits in The Last of Us. I'm playing a normal.
No, that game is really hard.
Yeah, it's hard.
No. You haven't gotten to a few rooms that I've gotten to.
Right, true.
That game is hard.
And so you are actually fighting for survival. So when you see the main character fighting for survival, when you see him taking a wood plank to someone's like rib cage and face, you're doing it out of fear for your own like health bar, essentially. Like if you want to boil it down, it's fear for your own health bar. So you want to get that encounter over as fast as possible, because in a lot of cases you're taking someone out while they're on a patrol route, just out of sight of like a bunch of other dudes who you really don't want to fucking alert. So like just like getting someone in a dark corner and just like ending them as fast as possible just to survive is why like a lot of that brutal action just totally clicks. It just totally works.
Yeah, because like I want to kill this guy quickly and quietly because I only have 6 shots left in this gun and there's 5 dudes over there.
Yeah, like there are situations where I've walked up to, like, they put you in some just out of the get. I don't want to go into spoilers. But you can get into situations where you see like 5 dudes and you do not want to fight 5 dudes. Like that is a bad proposition. In other shooters, you just walk into a room of dudes, like Deus Ex, for example, you just walk into a room of dudes, just like whatever. And in this, it actually makes you feel like just a couple guys are a serious threat.
Yeah, there was a room that I had to do with, like, you take out one guy really quick and it's no big deal. Mm-hmm. No one else really sees you because of a wall.
Yeah.
But other than that, there's like 3 regular dudes and a clicker, which I don't know if you got to them.
Nope,
yet.
I haven't gotten to that yet.
Anyway, that room took me about a dozen tries.
Wow. Like, one of the first, again, I don't want to spoil, but there's a situation where you have to fight, like, there's like a warehouse and you have to go up to it, and there's like 6 dudes, and that took me like 45
minutes.
In
like the ship area?
We shouldn't be specifying, but yeah.
Well, I guess Cynic and Shinboy. Mm-hmm. How is it for reloading? Like for like whether you're playing on normal or hard.
I never died, so
is it like, does it ever get to a very like, God, this is like, do you rage at it or you just get more focused? Like it's almost like the Super Meat Boy complex of,
it reloads pretty quickly. It pretty much gives you like, you die, then you see like a little hint to like,
so what, like
these enemies react to this or whatever, and then just press X and you're back in.
So it's. First off, was there ever any frustration?
Yes. Also, there's a if you pause it, it has a restart and counter button, which is kind
of
cool.
I was going to say, like, it's one of those games. It's one of those games where if you hit pause, you can just straight up go, there's an option there that goes restart encounter, and you can just restart that one encounter. It knows it's hard. It knows that you can fuck up. Because there's like cases where, for me, I've been to cases where I take down a dude and someone hears me. And the sound design is fucking amazing. Like, you can hear someone going, shit, someone just happened over there. And you hear them approaching. And then I just like fucking, I'm like crouching this whole time using listen to figure out who's around me. And then I kill the dude. Then I hear someone hears me. And then I just fucking bolt. Like, I just get up and just fucking sprint as fast as I can in the opposite direction just to get the fuck out of there. And yeah, like this. How do you feel about the controls? I think that game controls pretty well. I think
the melee when there's like 2 or 3 dudes on you is kind of bad at locking onto a target.
Yeah.
Like, say there's a dude in front of you and you kill him, and there's a dude to your left.
Mm-hmm.
I just sort of expect that I press the melee button, it locks onto the dude to the left, but instead it just sort of punched forward at nothing.
Yeah, it definitely happened a whole lot. For me, it was I got into a situation where someone was in front of me and I took him out, and there was someone directly behind me, and I hit the punch button and whilst turning the camera at the same time. So I was expecting to be able to like turn the camera and punch him, but he just ended up punching like at 90 degrees instead of 180 degrees. And then I got damaged, and it kind of like, that is a bummer, but it also like kind of reinforces the fact that you shouldn't get into that situation. Like, it's kind of like Dark Souls in that, you have all the tools. They give you every tool you need to get through combat and so on and so forth. With taking like I never died. At the point I was at, I'd only ever lost like 1 or 2 bars of health, because you can straight up take it really slow and just like slowly work your way through all your enemies.
See, the room that took me a dozen tries, that's what I eventually did, because it wasn't just me screwing up. It was also trying to figure out the patrols and what order to kill the enemies in and where to kill them in what order.
Yeah, yeah. And
it was a combination of that and then just me screwing up.
And this kind of makes me wonder, like, can you play that game as a non-stealth? I know you can't be a fucking gun. Like, you can't be run and gun. Like, this is not a game where you can play run and gun. But can you play it in a non-stealth manner? Like, I don't know.
I doubt it. I don't think it's viable.
Yeah, which is kind of crazy, because Naughty Dog just made a fucking stealth game. And I didn't know that was the case.
It made a good one, and I don't like stealth games.
Yeah, it totally works. How do you think about the characters? I think the characters are pretty fantastic.
I think the characters are really good. They're outrageously well animated.
Yes, just what
like
the
Naughty
fuck?
Dog is really, really good at showing emotion in their characters.
Yeah, like the first time you have control over a character in that game, the way that character like works and how they just moving them around, it just feels like you're that character. And a lot of that is from the animations, and also a lot of it is from them not being afraid to limit you. Like, there's a lot of cases in The Last of Us where you can't run, you can't walk anything faster than slow, and a lot of cases people would complain about that, but in The Last of Us it makes sense when they do it.
Yeah, but there's one part that I just got to where you look at a character and there is just obvious sadness in their eyes, and that sort of struck me more than anything else so far.
It's just, this is why I play Naughty Dog games, and I'm happy. That's essentially it. Like, Last of Us is a stealth game. I want to make that as a takeaway. The save issue's been fixed, so for those of you at home, that's a good takeaway to have, so don't worry about playing that game now. It was a problem with Naughty Dog's servers, as opposed to the shipping game, which is kind of crazy. So the save issue's been fixed. The game, so far, has been absolutely astounding. I will agree with others that game opens strong, but I don't want to say a single word beyond that. And, well, Shinboy, did you think the game opened strong? I think that game opened strong.
I saw the opening coming a mile away, and it was still really good.
Yeah, exactly. It was actually ruined for me, and I didn't know it was ruined for me, because I knew something about Joel coming into it that I don't think I should have known, but it still worked. And as soon as
one event happens in the opening, I'm like, oh, I know where this is going, but still.
Yeah. Anyway, that game is awesome. Huge recommend
also,
for me.
Huge recommend for me so far. Although, because I feel like I have to say this, man, those jaggies.
Those
disappointing.
Jaggies. It's a weird thing playing that game after E3, because we've seen next gen. So coming back to a current gen game looks like a current gen game. But it looks like a really good looking current gen game. So I don't mind it so much.
That's a game I'd like to see the original, I guess you could call, version of, where they were making that on, because they had to be making that on PCs at some point.
Yeah.
I would like to see that version of it, because that would be amazing, because just the main menu, the texture work on the walls in the main menu is fantastic.
Man, like that. Yeah. Just, yeah.
Right? Now that you think about it.
Just fucking. But no, it's not like that is. Like one off, like every, as I said, I spent the first 3 hours of that game playing 25 hours worth of game. I was just walking around looking at stuff, because that game is
some of those moss textures and some of those buildings. I don't know.
Well, yeah, some of like the vine textures, and that should tell you enough, because vines should never be textures. I can't say anymore, because there'll be spoilers. So yeah, no, just play that game. If you have a PS3 or if you're thinking of buying a PS3.
It didn't grab me at first as much as I was expecting it to, because of the room that I was just getting frustrated at, because I'm like, there has to be something I'm missing here.
Right.
But then once I figure out, it's just a trial and error of figuring out patrols, and the game sort of recognizes that because of that quick load feature.
Yeah.
Once I got through that room, I don't want to say it got easier, but I got it a little bit better. And I've been enjoying it a lot more.
People have been saying that game, it gets easier as it goes along, not only because you learn the systems, the various systems, but also because the crafting catches up and like all that kind of stuff. There's crafting in this game, by the way.
It all happens in real time.
Yeah, that is totally cool. Like, putting on bandages happens in real time, because there's part of the tutorial is for you to put on your own bandages. And yeah, you just watch him like wrapping. Obviously, it's not like unique animations per injury, but it's still like a long process where you're watching him wrapping his arm in bandages. And yeah, that's just so far
that game lacks in raw technical prowess. Mm-hmm. It makes up for in art design and sound design.
Yes, easily,
especially sound design.
And beyond art design and sound design, just straight up acting. Troy Baker, that is not Troy Baker,
not
as
sound,
I know.
Troy, yeah, it does Baker. Not sound like Troy Baker.
Yeah,
like you're not Booker DeWitt.
Yeah, you're not Booker DeWitt. You're not Kanji Tatsumi.
You're not Logan Thackeray.
Yeah, it's just he does a great motherfucking job, especially in that opening.
I wish I didn't know it was Troy Baker. Because every time he talks, I'm trying to hear Troy Baker in there, and it's sort of taking me out of the scene, and it's bothering me.
Sometimes, yeah. But as soon as the game opened, I was listening for that Troy Baker touch, and I didn't see it. And that was kind of disjointing, but no, he's...
Not that I'm, like, I even ended up buying the game, but did you any of you guys see the Krieg the Psycho, like, reveal trailer for Borderlands 2 DLC?
No. What happened?
Troy Baker is like the voice of like former Krieg the Psycho, and he's like it's a whole like back and forth, like the voice, like, all right, he's a sane person, like, you know, trying to talk to the crazy person that's taking control,
right?
And it's very funny.
You know what's scarier? Troy Baker is motherfucking Ocelot in MGS5.
Oh jeez,
the picture of him and Kojima is amazing.
Troy Baker in every game confirmed. Someone put up a suggestion. What if Troy Baker is the main character of Final Fantasy 15? I can totally see that happening.
He's Snow in 13.
Yeah. Like, Troy Baker is now just like, he's the new Nolan North. And I don't mind, because honestly, yeah, he's done some. Booker DeWitt and Joel are fantastic.
Troy Baker is a handsome man. I'm not afraid to say that.
I agree. That guy has some definite swagger, and he deserves it. And with that, anything else? That's all I've been playing in E3.
I've played a bit more of Okami HD just because I wanted to play something once I hooked this PS3 up to my sound card. That game's still fun.
Cool. Good to hear. I don't think I'll ever get into Okami because I think the only Zelda game I will ever appreciate is Darksiders. But
hell yeah.
Yeah. And with that, this is a short episode of the Scotchcast because we did do that other episode this week. Listen to that if you want to hear our reactions.
Wait, one
from
last
the podcast.
Thing. Yo. For your weekly Guild Wars 2 update, Dragon Bash is pretty okay. It's pretty fun.
Yeah. Doubleton was update. Saying something similar about Dragon Bash being pretty cool.
Dragon Ball is good, not only because it's fun, but also because it's called Dragon Ball and Aina just doesn't care.
Yeah, don't give a fuck. We will talk about that next week. It'll be a normal Linking Cast next week. I'm happy to confirm that right now. But until then, plugs. Shinboy, 6:30. Any plugs?
I need to talk to Durin, see when the hell we're doing Saints Row the Third. Anyway, I'll probably write up something about E3 at some point on my site, plugandplaygaming.com. Also, cool. As a side note, it's not really a plug. Massively is looking for a new Guild Wars 2 columnist, and I'm applying. So, yeah.
Yay. I hope you
vote for Shinboy 2013.
It's not vote, sadly. Durbleton. I would totally lose if it was a vote.
Any plugs? Derbs?
I mean, like, just twitch.tv/giantbomb. I need to get back into streaming, but there's no games right now to currently stream that I've been playing.
On that note, I will
sleep is fun.
A huge plug to twitch.tv/frailgesture for Matthew Rory, who's been doing some awesome Dark Souls streams, and I can't wait.
I just could not care less about Dark Souls.
Dude, watching someone
you
play Dark Souls is so fun.
Cynic.
Yeah.
Know my reason behind not caring about Dark Souls, and I think it's a valid one.
No, it's fair. That game is not for everyone, but I actually do think that almost anyone, unlike Dota 2, will get enjoyment from at least watching someone play it. Because just like Matt Rory just like walked through a door yesterday and immediately died, and that happened multiple times. And so,
do you have the Thanks Obama mod?
I don't think so. No.
So every time you die, instead of saying you are dead, it just says thanks Obama?
No, he only has the graphical update ones, but he's good at that game too. It's not like watching Brad play a game where half the time he's either really good at it and the other half of the time he's just fucking terrible at it. Rory is actually good at games, and watching him play Dark Souls is actually pretty damn fun. So start with anything else? So Jibomb, Twitch, and Frail Jester, Twitch.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
cool.
I guess...
Noobarama.
Noise, or not, news plugs.
PC Gaming Hub. That's about it.
Cool. And
also, the bug Wooden Potatoes, because he said he listened to the show. He needed to be on the show, regardless of what we're talking about.
True. Yeah, I'll
just
going to
throw that out there.
We'll see. Well, whatever. If he doesn't feel like it, that's fine. It'll be, if he does, that'll be cool.
Yeah. Being on the show sucks. Don't do it.
So we're at thelinkingcast@gmail.com and at thelinkingcast on Twitter. You can contact us there. Check out the videos we plugged earlier. So that's E3 2013, The Longest Day on jibomb.com, and the most recent Bombcast on Twitch, which I shall be linking to in the show notes.
Make sure you watch The Longest Day all the way through. The ending is amazing.
The ending is spectacular. Drew, man, stretching his production chops in that video. Really well done. So thanks for listening to this episode of the Scotchcast. See you next week.
Bye.
Bye. Fuck you, new.
That's all staying in. This is all staying in.
Video games.